Devotional Podcast Ministry of Bible Fellowship Church. Let's Talk is designed to give you some spiritual truth to consider every day, Monday through Friday. The feeding of the 5,000 is a familiar account from the life of Jesus. It's recorded in all four of the Gospels, but there's something unique about the account as it's found in the book of John. Only in John's Gospel is the reaction of the crowd mentioned. It would be easy to assume we know the crowd's reaction, but the Gospel of John takes away all the guesswork. There are two interesting verses included in John's account that give us detail consistent with the tone of the rest of the book. It's been said that John's Gospel was written to persuade people to believe in Jesus. And the little added detail found in John 6, verses 14 and 15, seems consistent with that theme. Following the narrative of the feeding of the 5,000, we find these words. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. So what's the reaction of the people? Clearly, we see that the people concluded that Jesus was the prophet. Not just any prophet, but the prophet they knew to expect. John records similar reactions from others, the Samaritan woman, for example, as well as another crowd of people encountered in John 7. Their reactions reveal that they too realized that Jesus was more than an ordinary man who seemed to know everything about them, or a magician who was able to produce food for a crowd, or someone who could speak with powerful results. The crowd's reaction in John 6 reveals that at least some of them recognized Jesus to be the fulfillment of the prophet God promised through Moses in Deuteronomy 11, when he said, "God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers." The reaction of the crowd reveals that some made the connection between the old and the new. They realized that Jesus was the promised prophet. All of which presents a persuasive argument to the readers of John's Gospel. As encouraging as this is, it also has to be noted that the crowd somehow missed the full significance of what this meant. Verse 15 reveals this sad truth when it says that Jesus perceived that the crowd was planning to take matters into their own hands and wanted to make him king by force. Apparently, they mistook the physical miracle of feeding 5,000 for their ticket to political deliverance from the Romans. They may have been persuaded that Jesus was the promised prophet, but they made the grave mistake of thinking he would submit to their demands. Jesus had eternal matters in mind, which they mistakenly assumed could be manipulated for their own purposes. The reaction of Jesus tells us everything we need to know here. When he realized the distorted motive of the crowd, he escaped from them all, withdrawing again to the mountain, giving the crowd one more opportunity to consider his true power and identity. What we find here is a glimpse into the fact that Jesus came to earth to fulfill God's purposes, not to be manipulated by humanity. The crowd had deliverance from Roman rule in mind, but Jesus had spiritual deliverance in mind. The crowd thought they could make Jesus do what they wanted him to do, be who they wanted him to be, and force him to conform to their desires. Jesus proved that he came on God's terms and not those of the crowd. This was true when Jesus walked the earth, and it's still true today. If we're honest, we all have moments when we secretly think we can get God to give us what we want if we just punch the right buttons, make enough sacrifices, or plead with the right words. We reveal by this that what we really want is for Jesus to serve us on our terms instead of rule according to God's terms. In the words of Eugene Peterson, "Jesus is indeed King, but the way he rules is not our way. We can't dictate to him the terms of his office. We can only surrender to his terms." I hope you find those to be words of comfort. Just consider what a mess things would be if Jesus was taking orders from us. Aren't you glad he came on God's terms? Aren't you glad there's no force strong enough to change this? Aren't you glad he doesn't give you everything you think you need? While some seem to be frustrated by this reality, this is actually the place to find great peace. Jesus came on God's terms. He fulfilled God's plan from eternity past to reign forever and ever, and that will never change. He will never be voted out of office. While humans may attempt to deconstruct this truth or deny its veracity, Jesus simply continues to reign, proving that he came on God's terms and that it's impossible to change that mighty truth. We can take comfort in the words of Psalm 24, where it says, "Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you came on God's terms. Thank you for the assurance it gives us that you fulfilled all the Father sent you to do. Praise God that you will forever be the King of glory according to God's terms. Amen. Well, thanks for joining us today for Let's Talk. Remember, come what may, Jesus reigns on God's terms, not ours.